And being a good idea, it'll probably mean it just won't happen.
With Lee Stark.
Hello, Lee Stark. How are you? Hang on. Let's push the button and talk to Lee. Hi, Lee. How are you, mate? Thanks for holding there, mate. I just had those people that have been holding for, God, 25 minutes or something like that.
All good, mate. All good.
So, it is time to talk tech with Lee Stark. I've got a whole stack of stuff here. A couple of questions. Georgia says, do you have any experience with loop or similar headphones? What's a loop headphone? What makes them different from regular earbuds? What's a loop headphone?
Sounds, off the top of my head, it sounds like a style of earphone that you actually wrap around your ear. So loop style headphones usually come in two styles. They either wrap around the back of the ear and they kind of fit into the crevice of your ear. So they're usually made for people who do fitness, things like that. They're good for clinging to your ear, if that's the style she's talking about. They let a lot of audio in, which is also just something to be aware of. There's nothing wrong with that style. I would just probably look around for a pair that suits your needs properly. Loop styles are less common these days. Most people go to a style called bone conduction headphones, which are basically, they fit around your head and they sit next to the temple, weirdly, and they use your skull to basically transmit a lot of the sound to your eardrums with a little speaker on the side for bass. And the reason people choose these over loop style headphones these days is that they keep your ear open so you can go for a run and still hear everything, whereas loop earphones do that as well, but they sometimes block the eardrum and it's not as useful if you're running. So if what you're talking about is what I think it is, look at also bone conduction style headphones. They are kind of more made for that purpose.
Stephen says my niece has asked for Meta Quest 2 for Christmas.
A Meta Quest 2?
Sorry, it's Meta. Meta Quest 2 for Christmas, not Meta. Meta Quest 2 for Christmas, which she said is a Facebook Meta VR system. How does it work, he says.
So it's owned by Facebook/Meta, whatever you want to call it. Basically, it's a set of small screens that go in front of your eyes and some cameras out the front. Basically, think of it as a headset that you wear. So a big set of glasses, very thick, with a couple screens on the inside. And as you wear it, it allows you to look at a different world. So kind of like video games and entertainment put inside of your head. And as you put your hands in front of it or you hold controllers in front of it, it allows you to kind of pretend you're in a different world. The Quest 2 is a very good headset. The Quest 3 is also around, and there's a slightly less expensive variant of that. If you typically hit up either Amazon or Meta's own website, you should find different variations of them. I'm relatively sure it's the Quest 2 that's a little bit less expensive at the moment because it's been superseded. But yes, if your niece is looking into VR or entertainment and wants to go beyond simple video games and whatnot, this is certainly that device.
There you go, Stephen. That's an answer from Lee. Let's talk about SMS on steroids. What is RCS rollout? Because Australian telecommunications companies are in discussions to implement RCS, a technology that enhances messaging capabilities and aims to reduce spam. Tell us more about this, if you would, please, Lee.
So this is Rich Communication Services. It's an idea that basically stems from Android kind of responding to iMessage. So if you're an iPhone user, you use iMessage, you've got the green responses. When you talk to another person on the iPhone, it goes to a different color. If they don't use it, you've got green and blue depending on the device you use. Android users can't tap into iMessage. iMessage is locked off. It's part of Apple's network. RCS formed as kind of a response to that. Could we have an open standard that iPhone and Android users could both use, and they would be able to see sort of like the responses that have happy faces, the tap back responses is what Apple calls them. Could you respond to threads? Could Android users and iPhone users collectively have a better SMS experience? iPhone users presently have that. If you use an iPhone and your friends are on an iPhone, you communicate usually using iMessage or the messages system, and that allows you to do those really cool things like share emojis, on specific responses, respond to different parts of a thread. It gives you a little bit more control. Android users don't have that natively, so they adopted the standard called RCS, and they made it actually a standard. Google joined forces with Apple to make it a standard they both could support. The problem is, while you need a new phone or a new operating system for it, and the newest version of iOS does technically support it, as do most Android phones for the past 2 years, you still need the telcos to actually implement the sort of technology that makes this work. So in Australia, unfortunately, RCS doesn't actually exist here yet. It's one of those things that Telstra, Optus, Vodafone slash TPG has to actually implement themselves. Vodafone and TPG, my understanding is they're the closest to actually doing it. The understanding is they'll have possibly something by early to mid next year, but Telstra and Optus aren't there yet. So this is it is SMS technically on steroids. That's an interesting way for the Herald to put it, but it's also worth pointing out it's kind of like iMessage for everyone. So Android to iPhone, Android to Android, iPhone to iPhone, and vice versa.
The next Kindle is about... Your headline says the next Kindle is all about colour. So, in other words, it won't be in black and white. Your screen will be in colour. Is that correct?
That's effectively right, yeah. And so what it is it's called the Kindle Colorsoft. It annoyed me because it's written without the U, and I kept on looking at it as a journal going, no, we use the U here. It's color without the U because it's obviously an American thing.
Yes.
Look, it's a Kindle with a color screen, and obviously the response to that is, why do I need a color screen? Most books are in black and white. It's particularly handy for kids' books. A lot of kids' books are in color. It's handy for reference books and art books and magazines and things like that. And the idea is that you will be able to have a Kindle and see a full color screen, which may not be a big deal depending on the books you're reading, but Kindle hasn't entered this area before. They're not the only ones. Kobo also has a couple in the market already, but Kobo's ones are different. Particularly interesting is a fact people don't realize. In Australia, the Kindle competition, Kobo, actually supports public libraries using a system called Overdrive or Libby. So if you're into the idea of a Kindle, but you like the idea of borrowing from the local library, you look at Kobo because you can do it digitally using that system. Kindle's color version won't be here until next year. It's really weird from my point of view. You'd think they'd hit the Christmas season, but they're not going to. We will instead get a new variation of their Scribe, which is basically a Kindle with a pen, allowing you to write and draw all over your notes. So really handy for college students or uni students.
Let me ask you this. You just said library Kindle in the one sentence. I'm old, haven't been to a library in years. Are you telling me you can borrow a Kindle from a library now?
No, not quite. So if you have a Kobo, so a Kobo is the digital equivalent, also a different equivalent of a Kindle, owned by Rakuten, but if you look up Kobo, there's a few variations of them. You can actually borrow books digitally without entering the library in the first place. So you can use an app. You can use this with your phone as well. If anyone's got a phone or a tablet, you can download an app called Overdrive or Libby, depending on where you are in Australia, and it will allow you to actually borrow books digitally from the library without actually setting foot in it. But it also connects up with Kobos, so you can actually borrow books straight to your Kobo, which is a different version of a Kindle, and read that way. It's handy for kids. If kids are churning through books and you're like, I'm trying to work out how to keeping them filled with all the entertainment and information they can read, you can borrow books digitally and then return them digitally. Libraries have a set amount they can borrow at certain times, but it's really handy if you don't want to set foot in the library. I have not set foot in the library for a long time, but I can still borrow books from the library using a different version of a Kindle.
Can you do it with an iPad?
Yes, you can, absolutely. The app's available for iPad, for Android, for iPhone, for tablets in general. Depending on where you are in the country and depending on your library, you look up your local library and you should be able to join online even for a 30-day period. That's typically how they work. If you want to confirm it, you often have to go into the library, set foot, and then that's like the one time you'll do it. But you never have to really do it again. You can borrow books using Overdrive or Libby. Depending on where you are, it'll be one of those two apps. They work exactly the same way. You look up a giant collection of books that are digital. Not all of them are, but many are.
Yeah.
And you can borrow it. And someone else might have it out before you. It'll notify you when it's returned, and you can automatically borrow it without setting foot.
Wow. Well, I've learned something today. So almost, I suppose in years to come, people won't bother to go to the library and sit and read quietly and be told, shh, you can do it at home.
You can absolutely do it at home. It's a really cool thing. So we got the, we tried the color Kobo earlier this year, and because it was all about kids' books, the first thing my daughter did was we joined her up, and she started downloading as many as she could and going through several books in the space of an hour, just because she could. The option was out there, and all she had to do was borrow it, and we started realizing that there were other books she could read as her reading level improved, and so now she starts borrowing books digitally and just returning them, and I imagine she's like several other kids doing that as well.
Isn't that incredible? See, that's where technology, it's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Speaking of technology, it's finally here, the Samsung Galaxy Ring. Tell us about the Samsung Galaxy Ring.
It's not what I expected it to be, I'll be completely honest. I was expecting it to be kind of useless. It was more useful than I expected, but it's got a couple of catches. It's a small ring. It looks exactly and feels like a regular ring. There's nothing really unusual about it. You could wear it on one of your fingers, pick which one. It's one of those gadgets you can't pass on to another person because there are 9 different sizes. Each one is sized specifically, and you can't remold it because there's electronics inside of it, so you can't tighten the ring like you can another piece of jewelry. It includes things like a heart rate sensor, it includes an accelerometer to track your steps. And the idea is that if you're one of those people that doesn't like to wear a smartwatch, and there are a lot of people out there, I'm wearing an analog watch today, if you're wearing an analog watch and you don't want to wear a smartwatch, this can actually track your steps and track your sleep. Couple catches, it's really early days, it's $650, it only works on Android, which kind of puts it out of reach for a lot of people who might be interested in this technology. The bigger problem at the moment is that its tracking isn't perfect. I'll be honest, and during the couple weeks I was reviewing it, I was getting up in the middle of the night to attend to Miss 2 because she was waking up all the time, and it couldn't work out when I was awake. It had no problem working out when I was asleep, but it had a huge problem working out when I was awake, and I found that a bit of a problem because it was then mistaking my sleep score. It was telling me I was getting amazing sleep when I was only getting 3.5 hours of sleep that day, so I knew something was wrong. Its step count was also 10 to 15% off where it should be. It's the sort of teething issues that I know they'll fix over a period of months, but it's a very interesting gadget, at least initially. As I said, it's not iPhone yet. It's the sort of concept that you can see iPhone users really getting into because you don't actually have to wear a smartwatch to do these sorts of things. And one of the better parts is that if you're also one of those people that goes, I don't necessarily need my watch to control my music or to alert me when there's a phone call, this doesn't do that. It's more like a Fitbit that you wear on your ring. It tracks everything you need, but there are no notifications, there are no alarms, there's no call notifications, basically. It's just a ring that tracks everything you're doing and allows you to get on with your life.
Ah, dear. Now, it's Meta, isn't it? Meta.
It is Meta.
Meta. Meta, you say Meta readies a way to keep scammers out of your Facebook and Instagram. Gosh. Facebook is someone said to me the other day, oh, no one uses Facebook anymore. Only grandmothers and grandfathers use Facebook. Is that true or not?
No. Facebook got tremendous following. As you could heard from one of your listeners, I mean, someone's actually considering buying a Meta headset. So Meta does more than just Facebook. There's Instagram, there's WhatsApp. Everyone is connected to something Meta uses these days, whether you really like it or not.
Tell me more about this way of keeping scammers out of your Facebook and Instagram account.
So have you ever known someone to get hacked, Brent, have their Facebook account hacked?
Yes, I have, actually. I have.
So typically what happens is with Facebook and Instagram accounts when they get hacked is that getting them back, really difficult. If you remember the media, much easier. You have someone to talk to. But if you're a regular person, way more complicated. You typically have to ditch the accounts and move on and start again. It's a huge problem. Facebook's been working on an interesting solution or method, depending on what you want to call it. And the idea is that provided you have images already uploaded to your account to kind of prove who you are, and most people do, most social accounts include references to yourself. It can be quite vain, but it is what it is. What they're doing is they've come up with a way of doing facial recognition using a video selfie. Basically, what they'll ask you to do is record a video of yourself talking to the camera and saying certain things, and they're going to use facial recognition to join the dots between how you talk, effectively how your face moves, and the images or videos you've uploaded previously. And they'll use that technology to say, you are who you are, and this is correct, and now we can unlock the account. Effectively, what normally happens when a scammer breaks into an Instagram or a Facebook account, that could be a company Instagram as well, that does happen a lot, is they actually lock down the account, they start uploading a bunch of things that are basically you wouldn't want there. Often it's crypto ads or scams or things like that. The idea is to go to the next victim effectively, and they'll lock your account down and basically replace your email, replace your password, so you can't gain access. This is Facebook and Meta basically saying, we have a solution that can go around it. If this happens to you, these are the steps you'll need to do. So the thing when I've been talking to people about this, the protection mechanism basically means you still have to have a couple of pictures of yourself on your account. So if you're worried about this sort of thing happening, and it could happen to anyone, just upload a few pictures of yourself to your account. Make sure there are some there that are recent, so that if you're asked to do this, Facebook and Meta has a good way of joining the dots.
All right, mate, I'll love you and leave you. Let's leave it there this Sunday. We, as always, thank you for the time you spend with us each and every weekend. We appreciate it. You have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Sunday. Same bat time, same bat channel.
No worries. Happy to help. Have a great week.
See you, Lee. Bye-bye, mate. Lee has got a great website, too, and if you've got any questions you would like to put to Lee, his email address is on there, pickr.com.au, pickr.com.au. That's Lee's email address.